Danny, welcome back to Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well, sir.
Oh, great, Ryan. Sorry that I'm a little pressed for time tonight.
No, absolutely. Are you watching World Cup soccer? Is that what it is?
No. Another commitment.
Okay.
That's okay.
All right. Hey, let me ask
you. But I know the United States is winning 1-0.
How big of a soccer fan are you?
So-so.
Okay.
I'm at World Cup time, full for the United States. That's about it.
Yeah, but, that's me too. Me too. That's the same way. Let's get right into college football for a couple of minutes. And the Golden Nugget released their odds. I know you had some projected odds. What was one of those that jumped out to you? What can we learn from these odds that were released on Friday?
Well, you say learn from, those are they take $1,000 on each. That's the most they'll take on each number. I think it's great that they put them out there this early. And, you know, and this is not a knock on them. Like last year, Auburn was 0-8 in the conference, as you know. And they made Alabama a 24-point favorite, if I remember right, the Golden Nugget or the Las Vegas Hilton. I can't remember which one. 24-point preseason favorite, Alabama over Auburn. As you know, that didn't occur. But that's what they're based on. They're based on what happened last year. And I don't know that, you know, they're good numbers. Some people bet them, some don't. Do I think they'll be the opening numbers opening weekend? Some will, some won't.
But the one that really shocked me is West Virginia, and I know it's always been one of those numbers that we thought about a 20, 21.5. Why is this number so high? Is West Virginia just not expected to bring anything to Atlanta?
Well, the betting line is the betting public's perception, Ryan, of how two teams match up. Alabama's considered to be the premier team in the country, or one of them, and West Virginia's considered to be at the bottom. So to get equal betting on both sides, you have to put up a number. I thought the number, I think I put up 24, 25, I can't remember, and it opened 27.5, but that doesn't surprise me because you've got to get a number to attract West Virginia action, and I'm not so sure it won't go up. And based on, too, what Alabama did last year to Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tech, in the betting public's mind, and mine too, is better. They're a better team than West Virginia. So that's why it's a high line. Again, it's designed to attract equal betting on both sides. If West Virginia were to win the game, as long as it attracts equal betting on both sides, the bookmakers are happy.
But looking at it, it gives you a little bit of projection of what type of season everybody thinks Alabama's going to have in 2014, right?
No, it doesn't do that. It just means that Alabama, again, the betting public's perception is Alabama, Florida State, and a few others are the best teams in the country, and they may well be. So they have to get a number that's extra high to get equal betting on both sides. Alabama will be favored every game. So it's not, it seems like an indicator, but it's really not. It's just a preseason. I mean, obviously, if they didn't have the line, you would still think Alabama's one of the top couple of teams in the country, and I know I would. That's assuming Jacob Coker turns out to be a better than average quarterback.
Right now, Alabama's been favored in 54 straight games. The record's at 58. Obviously, you said they were going to get there, so let me sort of spin this in another question. Is there a team right now in college football that Alabama lined up against they would not be favored against?
I'd have to think about it. Right off the top of my head, I'd say probably not, especially if Coker works out. Florida State would be a close line, Oregon, but no, I'd favor Alabama in preseason. That's a big difference. If you're, you know, when the season starts, that might be a different case, but no, I would agree with that. The only team could be Florida State. It might be Pick'em or maybe Alabama, slight favorite, either way.
Danny Sheridan right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa on the new Tide 99.1. I go to your Heisman odds because I'll work our way back to college football odds in just a couple of minutes, but who do you have winning the Heisman Trophy or who's the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy?
Well, let me say this, and you would agree, the winner would always be, generally would be the favorite. Last year, everybody, correctly so, had Manziel the favorite, and in February of last year, I made Manziel down. I made him an underdog. You think, wow, how'd you do that? It's real simple. The Heisman voting, to me, is very, very political, and I know that they're not going to, Manziel, they're not going to give it to him twice in a row because of his off-the-field activities. I disagree with that. I think Manziel probably should have won the Heisman last year. So that said, you go back to off the field. Every sports book is going to have Winston favorite. I don't. I have him down at number 4. And again, I don't know what your thought is, Ryan. You agree that the Heisman vote is rather political, right?
Sure.
And those guys are not going to hear. One time, hey, not a big deal. But when he was alleged to have, well, I guess he admitted that he took something and didn't pay for it. When he did that, he lost a lot of Heisman votes. They're not going to put him in as a Heisman. That's why I have him only at number 4. I think I dropped Manziel down to number 10. in my list last year, because there's no question, no matter what he did on the field, and he was great on the field, and I, again, thought he should have won, he wasn't going to win it. And I would say right now, clearly Mariota, Oregon quarterback's the favorite at 5-1. Braxton Miller, the Ohio State quarterback, would be 6-1, easy schedule, but of a lot of big numbers. Bryce Petty, the Baylor quarterback, by the way, you'll figure it out, you already have. It's a quarterback award. They've won, like, I think every year, but one maybe the last 13. And I'd have Petty at 8-1. Then I'd put in Winston at 10-1. Again, most people would have Winston as the favorite. I'd have Gurley, Todd Gurley, and T.J. Yeldon at 12-1. Then I'd put in, well, I'd put Nick Marshall in also somewhere between where with Yeldon. And Nick Marshall and Yeldon would be 15-1. Gurley 12-1. Then I'd probably throw in Mike Davis. But that's my 6 or 8. To start out with, and I will drop Winston. Obviously, if he has another one, I'll drop him out of. Not that it matters, but my odds, I think, are realistic. And if he would have another incident, no matter how small, I think I'd probably put him not even in the top 10 for winning the trophy, not for having a great year. I think he will have a great year.
Derrick Henry has had less than 40 carries on the college level. I saw odds from an odds maker earlier that had Derrick Henry in the Heisman vote, and or excuse me, in as far as odds. You're not doing that, are you, Danny?
Well, no, he would be in there, but they're like 30 or 40 names. No, Henry would be in there, but you got to try to cover everybody. Some cases he might be in the field, but no. But if you're asking me, is he worthy of being preseason compared to these other guys? No way. And again, this is an award that the odds are will go to a quarterback, whether deserving or not. It's going to a quarterback, unless some running back has, like, you know, 3,000 yards, something incredible.
That's never going to happen again. So,
I don't know if it's ever happened, 3,000 yards.
Well, I think Barry had 2,400, I think it was, or at least Barry Sanders. Right now we're talking with Danny Sheridan inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. Final few minutes of talking about the odds and sort of breaking down college football. As we look at the college football playoffs, as someone that's been around this game a long time, what are your concerns?
Well, the concerns are, first of all, I like this system better than I did the BCS. The more teams you include, the happier I am. But you and I both know, you know, you put out a poll, the end of October, the 28th, they meet in Dallas for a few days. You and I would need to meet probably for a few minutes. And you just have to wonder how long it's going to be before someone challenges a vote. And you have a lot of committee members that are in a real tough position. The Pac-10, the Big Ten, they want their teams to get in. I know they'll recuse themselves, but, you know, I don't know what's going on, and I think you have to wait and let it play out. I do like the system better than computers deciding it. But, you know, you have Trangisi. He's mad with the ACC. Is he going to vote against an ACC team? I don't know. I mean, it's only natural. You have certain prejudice whether you try to be. There's nothing. You can say you're objective, but you have to be real idealistic to be totally objective. And I just don't see everybody being objective, and I see a lot of hell-raising. But the bottom line, I'll take all that because I think we should have 4 teams. I'd like to see 6 or 8 teams, and I think that'll happen.
You cover college football from a unique perspective. Does the SEC deserve to get 2 teams? If they're qualified and ready to go, because some people are going to bypass and not put multiple teams in the same conference. Is that fair? I mean, sort of break it down from your perspective.
No, it's not fair, and you're right. That's what's going to happen. You know, when you win 7 out of the last 8, 11 seconds separate the SEC from winning 8 in a row. But if you won 3 in a row, that's a total domination. 7 in a row, then 7 out of 8. But, yeah, it's the SEC, as you know, will cannibalize themselves. And you'll have a weak team like Ohio State. Let's say they're 12-0 or 11-1. They'll slide them in there over a 10-2 Alabama or whatever, or 10-2 Auburn. That's not right. The Alabama-Auburn winner should be in the championship game. Then I would put an SEC team in there, and the winner Florida State and Oregon, maybe, you know, one of the, I'd say, yeah, Florida State, Oregon preseason, Alabama-Auburn winner, and then an SEC team or Oklahoma. That's not going to happen if Ohio State goes 11-1 or 12-0 and plays no one. So it's far from a perfect system, but I have to believe better than the BCS.
Danny, how long have you been watching college football?
As long as I can remember, since I was a child.
Urban Meyer said recently the 2008 Florida team was the best ever to play the game. You agree with him?
No, but I'd have to think about it. They were a very good team. inherited a lot of talent on that team, but the best team ever from his point of view, maybe, but not from mine. There were some teams Oklahoma had under Switzer that were frightening, and you know, that Alabama team, that 2000, and I don't know if it was the 9 or 11 team, but they're pretty sporty. And there were some Nebraska teams and Miami. Let's not forget the Miami Hurricanes. So I couldn't say it. From his point of view, maybe, but not my point of view. Too many good teams out there.
Danny Sheridan, a USA Today sports analyst, really focuses a lot on college football. Danny, thanks so much for helping us out here in Tuscaloosa. We appreciate you breaking down the odds, and I know maybe we'll visit during college football season.
And I really do appreciate it, Ryan. I'm sorry that they got a run, but know that if Jacob Coker, if he produces, Alabama's going to be tough. If he doesn't produce, there's no plan B. I don't know what they're going to do unless they run it every play. So they're putting all their eggs in one basket, and hopefully he won't get injured, and he will produce it.